I think it's really neat. I want to say thanks to Mark for being willing, absolutely willing, to pick the verses. You know, part of what I really love about church is it's family. I was just telling Mark this back here before the service a little bit. How many of you plan your conversations when you go to visit family? Right? And sometimes we come to church and we want everything planned around a conversation. I've never once called my sister and said, well, I'm coming to your house today and we're going to talk about this. So could you please make all your conversations focused around this? Right? That's not family time. And that's not really where I think God wants us to be, which is why Rich and I were talking about last Sunday again, a little bit about it. But, you know, the music. I love having somebody that picks the music. You know, I think it's just another way God can speak to this group of people here. I love that Mark picked verses because it's just another way God can speak to the hearts of people here. I would be totally naive if I think when I get up here to preach the word of God that everything I say is going to touch the hearts of every single person here. That's naive, and it's irresponsible. The music sometimes, you pick good songs that are theologically strong, I can guarantee that some of those songs are going to touch people in a way that the message will never touch. What you say, what you read this morning could have an effect on somebody that this, what I'm going to say this morning would never have an effect. And I just want God to be able to use the body to speak to the body. And so I'm thankful that you did that this morning. And I'm glad that you had a good heart and we could laugh and we could chatter about it. And I think it made him play ping pong worse because I was able to beat him. So that was good. I brought that up right away, right before I played him. So it was good. Anyway, we are in Philippians 2 this morning. And we're going to be looking at Mark. Mark looked at it this, and he told me this morning, he goes, I looked at what you read and I thought, how are you going to make something good out of that? And I'm like, I don't know. We're going to try, right? The word of God is powerful. And so join me in prayer before we get into it this morning. Father God, again, we thank you for the time that we've had already today being with you through the songs that were picked this morning, through our worship. I hope we were able to express our hearts to you and thanking you for who you are. And Lord, above all that, your glory would be seen through all that is done through these folks this morning, through us as a body of Christ in the communities to which we go into, being encouraged by one another. And Father, I ask now that as we come to your message this morning from your word, that it wouldn't be just a bunch of words that I put down on paper, but that you would speak to our hearts through it and use it for your glory and honor this morning. So we thank you for the time that we can come together in your son's name. Amen. And Sam pointed out to me that there's a clock over here. I told him last week, I said, I get up there and I have no idea what time it was. I said, I don't see a clock anywhere. He goes, there's one right off to the right. And I go, oh. Don't know if that's good or bad because now I'll be focused on it too much. But we have been talking about the mind of Christ, right? In walking with him. So this morning we're going to look at a couple characters that are examples to us given. So if you're in my house around, especially around Christmas time, you would find out that my wife and several of the kids enjoy doing puzzles, right? I saw one of Dave and Brenda's house the other night playing ping pong out on their thing. So apparently you guys must like to do puzzles as well. And here's the thing about puzzles. You can tell me if I'm wrong because I'm fortunate to put one piece in a puzzle if I'm going to sit there. Here's the thing about puzzles. Can you put them together without a picture? you can, right? You sure can most of the time, but it might take a while, and it sure is a lot harder, right? It's easier when you have the picture in front of you to look at, isn't it? When you look at the picture, I've done it. You pick up a piece and you look it over good. Then you look the puzzle picture over and you're striving to find out where in the world that, is that the same color blue? Is that just a different shade of blue? Is there a little dark line that runs through the top of it? Oh, I caught that. That means it has to go here. It can't go down here. And all the things that go around and the picture just makes it easier, right, to see. And that's really where we're looking at this morning. As we come back to Philippians 2, we're going to be in verses 19 through 30 this morning. As we've seen in this chapter, the puzzle pieces, right? We've seen a few of the puzzle pieces to being Christ-like. If you remember our verse, you can say it with me if you got it memorized yet, but we're going to do this every week. So it just says, only in verse 127, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or in absence, I may hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, right? And we've looked at some of the puzzle pieces here in chapter 2, the Christ-like mindset, right? We're supposed to have this mindset that's like Christ. We're supposed to strive like lights, right? In various things. And with what we have seen, we certainly can accomplish the task, right? Through Christ, we can accomplish this task. It's not an impossibility, right? Sometimes we go, oh, that's too hard for me. I appreciate my brother Mark back there in conversations with him. And he was talking about Paul this morning. And Paul, of course, is a writer of Philippians. But what separates Paul and us? What makes us any different than Paul? Right? Really, nothing. He was flesh and blood. He was a man. He had his strengths. He had his weaknesses. He walked with, we were talking about the thorn in the flesh, right? He learned how to deal with that to the glory of God, right? If that's what God's glory was in my life, then that's what I need to accept. He gives us that example. And we need to be that kind of example. How do we get there? And it really comes down, I've discovered through reading through Scripture an awful lot, it's relationship with the Father, isn't it? It's our relationship with the Father that makes the difference in who we are and how we walk. These men of faith were just men, but boy, they spent time with the Father. They spent time with Jesus, and I look at myself. I'm not going to judge you guys. I'm going to judge myself this morning. I look at myself and think, wow, the time that I waste on other things that I could be studying the Word. I was encouraged this morning. Mark was talking about his knees. Sorry, I'm using your stories this morning. I hope you're not offended. He was talking about his knee surgery and how much God has used that to help him grow in his faith. Going from one Bible study in the morning to two today, how much time do I spend with God? And how do I get to the places where the examples we have this morning before is how can I become like them? How can I become like them this morning? So Paul has given us a picture. He's talked about the puzzle pieces. He laid them out there, a few of them for us so far. And now he's going to give us a few pictures. So when you're doing a puzzle, getting back to the puzzle, right? It's funny. Does everybody put the edges around the puzzle first? Is that pretty common? Yeah, right? It frames the picture, right? You want the frame in there. Sides are the easiest pieces to find, right? They got a flat edge. Right? Let's just be honest. Okay? But then what I notice when I watch the others do puzzles, as I don't usually get too involved, is over here, there's a segment of 10 or so pieces put together. And then maybe over here, there's, oh, we found these other 10 that kind of all go together here. And in 10 here, and 10 here, eventually they'll connect them and they'll make the puzzle, right? The two examples of men that we have are part of the puzzles, pieces of the puzzle. Examples to us to help build the puzzle that God is building in our lives and through Christendom with us. So he's told us some things. So we're going to look at two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Say that real fast, real time. I could have given Mark that word. That's my right. Epaphroditus. If you're not there, Philippians 2, again, 19 through 30. And it just says this, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me with the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." We're going to stall right there because the next part's about Epaphroditus. So, Timothy, our first example. What is it about Timothy that we see here? I think the first thing that we see with Timothy is that he was trustworthy. He was trustworthy. Proverbs 12:17 says, "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Timothy was a trustworthy companion of Paul. He says, "I trust the Lord Jesus sent Timothy to you shortly." See, Paul knew Timothy would bring a true report back to Paul. "I'm going to send him to you that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." See, Timothy was to come back and report to him. Here's how they're doing. This is happening, right? Hank read a letter from Andrew Dusick this morning, right? Don't we appreciate when we hear what God is doing in the lives of those that maybe passed through our body, right? I do. You know, I wasn't here when Andrew was here, but I know Andrew. And I appreciate hearing what God is doing through them, right? And so to be that, you got to be trustworthy, right? Andrew sends a letter that we might know how Andrew is doing. We can kind of get the mind of Paul here. With Timothy, "I'm going to send you Timothy so he can bring back. So I know your state," right? It has to be trustworthy, right? Timothy was like-minded in Christ with Paul, right? To be trustworthy, you got to have the same mind. And he was. Their mind was rooted in Christ, right? You find that these close relationships, right? Most of us who are aged, we understand that a lot of times those close relationships are pretty rare, right? It takes a while. Young people, they go to colleges, right? And they make a lot of friends. And if you read any social media, there's a word that drives me absolutely nuts, but they use it all the time. "My best friends." Right? I like to use the word "their frenzies." They've got all their frenzies. They don't probably like that word as well, but I do. Right? And a lot of times when you're young, you're meeting people, and it's this one here that's in your moment for a certain period of time. They're my best friend. And all of a sudden you go here, your life moves and you go here, and all of a sudden you forget about those and you got these new best friends, right? And so it goes for a certain amount of time in our lives that we just have best friends, right? We haven't learned that, oh, there's one friend here that I met many years ago that still keeps up with me, right? That takes time. That takes age, right? I've got a friend who lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who's been a friend. He graduated high school with me. Good godly man. We keep up with each other. He's a best friend. He's a close relationship. It's rare to find. They're just not around every corner, right? And we want them to be, but they're not. Timothy was that kind of friend and that kind of man to Paul. He's like his son, right? I've got sons, and my sons keep up with me. They lag a little behind. Just to give you an example, most of them can't play ping pong nearly as good as I can. I said that for their benefit. But no, but they do. They keep up. They're truly interested in the things that I am. What's going on in my life? You know, I went to a doctor several months ago. I had this little weird cysty thing or something on my shoulder. Not a big deal. So I just went and had it removed. And my wife puts it on. Anybody use Marco Polo here? So she put this on Marco Polo to the family. And all the kids and my yeah. Dad goes in for surgery, you're not going to tell us? I'm like, really? Took 2 seconds, and I wasn't going to die, you know? But that's the relationship. That's the close relationships that are rare in the world, right? We get them with family, but they're rare with other people. They're rare within other people. Timothy was like-minded in Christ with Paul. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, most men will proclaim each own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Right? Who can find a faithful man? That's going to, really, the implication in that is proclaim my faithfulness, kind of. Who's going to talk good about me? Right? They're rare to find. They're rare to find. Timothy was a faithful, trustworthy friend. Paul knew Timothy cared for God's people in Philippi. Right? He knew he cared. The like-mindedness of Christ being demonstrated by Timothy to Paul here is he cared about the same things Paul cared about. He cared about his people. Let this mind be in you, right? That was also in Christ Jesus. We care about one another. Sunday school is always wonderful because we pray for the body, you know. Half the people they pray for in the morning I haven't met, and I have no idea who they are. But everybody's like, oh, how they doing? And sometimes it goes on. And I'm like, this is so cool. Because these are people everybody knows and everybody cares about. That's having the same mind, right? We've talked about that. Being like-minded with Christ, having the same mind. We care for one another. That's important. That's trustworthiness. Secondly, he has a proven character, right? 22, but you know his proven character, that as a son, his father, he served me with the gospel. Paul sent Timothy, and the people of Philippi knew his proven character. Wow, that's consistency of life, by the way, right? I don't want to know what my proven character is to some people. Do you? Right? It's kind of scary at times when you think about that. But he had a proven character. It was proven by his actions. It was proven by his actions. Philippians knew of Timothy and his work with Paul in the gospel. See, they understood. They seen how Timothy related to Paul. And they had a dear love for Paul. And they had a dear love for Timothy because of his proven character, the things he had helped Paul with, what they've seen with their eyes of who he is, what they've heard with their ears of who he was. He had a proven character. They understood that he sought the things which are of Christ. Right? He sought the things of Christ. If people who look at my life, that's what I want them to see. I want them to see that Gary seeks the things of Christ. Right? Do I pass that mustard all the time? No. No. Sometimes I'm a dill pickle in the middle of all of that somewhere, right? I just don't represent as well as I should. But you know, even in my failures, there is the thinking of things which are of Christ that can be seen, because in my failures, I return back. I go, right? And so do you, a lot of you, right? Do we do that when we fail? It's not because we lack failure. It's because of what we do with the failure, that people see the proven character of who we are, right? We're all just men and women here that fall short of the glory of God on a regular basis, right? But we return, we ask Christ to help us, and we try to live. We admit our mistakes. We ask forgiveness from those that we need to be forgiven by. We seek that relationship back, right? Not only with the Father, but with one another. That's having the same mind, walking in the way of Christ, the example given us. He could be counted on to treat others with the love of Christ. Okay? He exemplified what we've read back there in Philippians 2, verse 4. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interest of others. Timothy was an example of that. Timothy showed those things. But you know his proven character. That as the son with his father, he served me with the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. See, he was a strong, he was trustworthy. He had proven character, and he was a strong companion, encouraging in friendship. Again, Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Right? But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. To be a friend of somebody, I have to be friendly. Right? You can't have a scowl on your face and expect people to want to befriend you. Right? Having a Christ-like mind should erase the scowl from our face. Right? Just, I think, was it in chapel this week? Somebody was talking about the joy. Was that in chapel or was that something? I'm asking the kids over here. That was in chapel, right? Speaking about joy, do we have joy on our face? Can people see it? Can they see the joy? Because it's not because everything's going well. It's not because I'm feeling good. It's not because whatever may be going on in my world is just running smoothly. It's because of who lives in me. It's because Christ lives in me, and he's got all that under control, and I know that. And I believe that. Right? He's got it all there. And Timothy knew that. And he was a strong companion. He would offer encouragement and friendship. Right? It's going to stick around. I'm going to send him to you. As soon as I know what's happening to me, I'm going to send Timothy to you. Right? Timothy's going, okay. I'll go. But I want to see how it's happening with you too. Right? Paul wanted him around till his current situation was resolved, which Paul's hope in Christ was to come out well. Right? He hoped to come see him too. But in the meantime, here's one that'll represent me well. Right? Timothy's example. He was trustworthy. He was reliable. He had a proven character of a servant's heart, and he was a strong companion. If we look at that. But what about Epaphroditus? Let's see what it says here. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick and almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Epaphroditus, I think the best way I would summarize is his servant attitude. He had a servant attitude. He worked with Paul, right? Paul uses these words to describe him. He says he's a brother. You know, to call somebody brother is to make them part of your family, isn't it? Okay? If you go to some churches around, Baptist churches and various places around the country, it's Brother John, Brother Bill, come on up, Brother so-and-so, right? Or Sister so-and-so. And it's connecting the members of the body to a family. There's something. I don't call everybody my brother. I have a brother. I have two sisters, right? They're my family. They're intimately connected to me, right? And to call somebody a brother in Christ is to have that same type of affection, same type of love for one another, the same mind as one another. He calls him a fellow worker, right? A companion in the work of God, right? How many of you ever, I shouldn't probably ask this, but I'm going to. So how many of you have ever worked with somebody and went, yeah, they were kind of useless? Right? There are people that we've worked with in life and it feels like we pulled all of the weight. And probably true. Because there are some people that don't pull weight. There are some people out there that are just there until they get asked not to be there no more. Right? But then there's the fellow workers. Then there's the people that you love to have an opportunity to work with. I like working with these guys. Example being, I worked in a feed yard for a short period of time between when we had to sell the store and we were looking to see where we were going to go with Village Missions and kind of those kinds of things. I worked for a year or so, maybe 2 years with them. And I worked with four guys. Well, there was four of us, I should say. I worked with three others. Two of those guys, boy, I look forward to working with. We had a system. Right? They let me feed because I knew nothing about cattle. So they let me do what I could do. I could load up 15,000 pounds of hay or 15,000 pounds of silage and put it in the little mixer and I could get it all mixed up and I could go out and generally find the right place to put it and feed the cattle as I went. Another guy, he loved to weld and build the fences, and he knew cattle, and he was the kind of the mini broker within the thing. That's what he loved to do. And the other guy, he had his realm. He loved to check cattle out. He loved to give the medicines to them. He loved to do whatever he could do. Then there was the fourth guy. The fourth guy didn't like to work with any of us. He really just didn't. He wanted to be the know-it-all, but he didn't really ever want to put the sweat and tears into what was being done. He didn't really want to feed. He didn't want to weld. He didn't want to go out and check cattle. So he just wanted to tell us how much he knew. Right? And again, we've worked with people like that, right? Fellow workers, not all of them are great, but when you have a fellow worker that is willing to do, they're fun to work with. They are good to work with. They're a blast. And a lot gets accomplished with a fellow worker. And Paul here is calling Epaphroditus a fellow worker, a companion in the work of God. A lot gets accomplished with Epaphroditus. That's what he's saying. He was a fellow soldier, right? Some of you know soldiers, right? Some of you served our country well, and you know what it means to be a fellow soldier. You know what the tears, the sweat, but also the trust that you have to have in a fellow soldier. Right? So he's willing to do it. He was an associate in the conflict for the cause of Christ, right? The battle, the things of Christ are not easy. There's warfare going on. There's a battle going on. Boy, do we need each other. Again, I say this almost every Sunday, but I love the ping pong night more so, not because of the great ping pong that gets played, but the fellowship that is being enhanced there between the men. That bonding that takes place around a ping pong table. We could go to battle together. Right? We're gaining that. We're getting that. And then the Saturday morning breakfast, all of those things create within the men a unit, a fighting unit, if you want to say. We're willing to go to war for one another and to help each other in the battle. A fellow soldier. But he had a servant attitude as well in relationship to the Philippians. Right? He was a messenger sent to Paul to minister to Paul's need. The Philippians had sent him, most likely sent him out on what would most likely have been maybe a several-week trip. They sent him with whatever money, provisions that Paul may need, sent him with their love gift. Right? And they trusted him to take it there. His relationship, his servant attitude to go. It would take courage to go, right? It takes sacrifice to go. And he was willing to go in order to provide for Paul from the Philippians. But he also longed for the Philippians in 26 and 7, right? He was sick almost dead, but God had mercy on him. That's how I said. He longed for them. Verse 26, he was longing for you all. He longed for his fellow Philippians. He was driven by a selfless heart for others, that he was happy to take the provisions to Paul. And while with Paul, he gets sick. But then, rather than wallow in his illness, right? He was worried about the Philippians because he knew they were worried about him. Right? I'm near death here, but I don't want the Philippians to worry about that. They don't need to worry about me. I don't want them to be that. What a loving heart. What a caring heart for his Philippian brothers and sisters. He was distressed over them, for they worried about his health. Here's a man, Paul says, almost dead from his sickness, almost unto death. And yet, what is he? He's worried about those back home. His fellow believers in Christ at the Philippians church. His example of what walking worthy of the calling means, right? He was worthy of others. He was rejoicing. Paul sent him to the Philippians so the Philippians could rejoice. Right? You go back. You're better now. Go back. Let them rejoice. Let them see you. If you're sick, if somebody I love gets sick, you know what I like to do? I like to see them because I can hear that they're doing better. But until I actually see them, I still wonder what better means from somebody else's eyes, right? When you walk into a hospital room after somebody's had surgery or done something like that, there's this relief that somewhat comes over you and you go, oh, they're going to make it, right? Or they're okay. They've got things in right order. They're doing good. They're going to be okay, right? Paul sent him so the Philippians could rejoice. Paul would be less sorrowful with sending him, right? He was known for his faithful work in Christ to go above and beyond the duty. An example that people could lift up to others, right? Hold such men in esteem. Can people hold me up that way? Can they hold you up like that? Could somebody say to others, look at them. That's how you should live your life. That's who you should follow. You don't know much about the Christian walk. Just follow him. Just see what he's doing. And follow after him. He was willing to die for the sake of others. Right? That he was just doing what God has called him to do. He had a love for the gospel of Christ. John 15:13 says, greater love has no more one than this than to lay one's life down for his friends. And that's what Epaphroditus was showing us. I can die. The sickness doesn't matter to me. I got to do what God has asked me to do. They sent me to Paul. I got to do that. I got sick. It's okay because I did what God wanted me to do. Right? And God had mercy on me and he sent me back to him. Praise the Lord. He doesn't do that with everybody. And that's not the point. The point of the matter is God's glory is seen through our lives and the things that we do. If he died, he dies. If he got sick and died, would he have been any less? No, because he went doing what God had asked him to do. It's good that way. Our lives need to reflect that. He was known for his faithful work. He was willing to die for the sake of others, and he modeled Philippians 2:14. Which we just looked at, do all things without complaining or disputing. Nowhere in the story of Epaphroditus do you hear him going, oh, poor me. They sent me on this journey. Along the way, I got sick. And oh, man, let me tell you how sick I was, how bad I am. Right? My wife is sick today at home, and I am not a great doctor. I can tell you that, right? But I'm a really bad patient as well. If the roles were reversed, I would be at home moaning and groaning and whining and complaining. And you all might be able to hear it over here. Because I don't handle sickness very well. I don't know if anybody else relates to that the way us. But sometimes us men, we're not nearly as good at handling illnesses maybe as we should be. But Epaphroditus did. No complaining, just accepting what God has given him. Right? He modeled it. Despite the hardships Epaphroditus endured, he kept going without complaining or arguing about a situation, but rather understood what he was called to do and persevered through it all to the glory of Christ. So the example that we can grab from Epaphroditus this morning is his courage, his driven for the task, and being worthy of the calling, right? And we all need that. We see in both Timothy and Epaphroditus men whose conduct was worthy of the gospel, which is the verse we look at. They both displayed the mind of Christ, and we see them shining as lights in a world that is darkened, without complaining, without arguing, but they held on to the word of life. They knew the gospel. They knew Christ, and they were willing to do what it takes to help keep that rolling in people's lives, to keep that going. And then we have an example of how we should approach our lives to Christ. We also have some challenges, right? Where do we excel and where do we need to grow? I've told the story maybe here a couple times, I don't know, but no, I told the kids in different ways. Every person excels at some things and they're lousy at other things, right? It makes us all just average people. There's nobody greater than one. Paul was an average guy who loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Timothy, average guy who loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Epaphroditus, an average guy that loved the Lord God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Who am I? Who are you? Are you an average guy that loves the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? And are you willing to do what it takes to get the gospel to where it needs to go, to encourage one another, to be strengthened, to be like-minded with Christ? The examples we gather in. So that's the challenge. That's where we have this morning. See, Mark, I can make something out of that. And God is so good. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of men that we have in the Bible. Men that can challenge us. Men that have ran their race and endured. Men that you used mightily. May we be such men and women today. And we ask that you would guide us and lead us in your Son's name. Amen.